Today's program is brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, suppliers of world-class ales and lagers. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 this is Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's February 10th, 2015. This is our New York City Beer Week preview. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Seal. Thanks to our sponsors, Union Beer Distributors, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. All right, Dave Roderick back in town from Vermont. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How you doing, Jimmy?
And we got Dan McLaughlin from the Pony Bar.
Jimmy, how you doing?
And you just opened a new place?
That's right, yeah. Kiavaca Serious Beer and Brick Oven Pizza.
And Anthony from Transmitter.
How are you?
On the way over, I talked to Kelly Taylor, and he said, who's on your show? And I said, well, you know, you got Dave Broderick and Dan McLaughlin and Transmitter. And he said, which one, Rob or Anthony? And I said, Transmitter! So I guess you have a good identity. But it's kind of fun to have you in the house because, you know, we've all been working hard on New York City Beer Week. And, you know, for many years, it's been an important part of beer. But, you know, it's a different reality now. I mean, there's, what, over 20 breweries or some type of licensed breweries in New York City. And there's a lot of really great beer bars, and you know, it's pretty cool, right?
There's a lot going on.
So cheers to you guys. Yeah, so Dave, cheers. You know, you were I want to just put in a plug for some of the Beer Week events. One of my favorite things is it's opening night tap. The idea is to go to your favorite beer bar, in our case the Good Beer Seal bars, and have a toast at 7 o'clock on Friday, February 20th. I think that's a pretty cool idea.
I'll be toasting you from the Worthy Burger in Vermont.
You can be satellite.
I'm coming down on Monday.
Yeah, I'll be. We have two events: one at Kiavaca, one at Pony Hills Kitchen. So I'll be going back and forth. Luckily, they're side by side, so it's a short commute.
But I mean, is that sound exciting to you? Is everyone going to different bars and kicking off with a toast?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think obviously, New York City can certainly support it with all the people here that are into this.
I think it's cool
too. And plus, I think there were always a lot of complaints in the past about New York City Beer Week and how it sort of took, you know, business away from the bars. And so I think it's a great way to sort of shift that back to where it needs to be.
Well, cheers. Let's make our toast now. Cheers. New York City Beer Week. And one of our favorite events, the New York City Brewer's Choice. Dave, you worked on it with me.
Not one of our favorite. Our favorite event.
We worked on it for a long time. And this year it's moved to right next door to Kelso and Greenpoint Beer Works on Sanders Studio, 525 Waverly Ave and Clinton Hill, February 24th. There's still tickets at NewYorkCityBrewersChoice.com. You know, you worked on it for so many years with me, Dave. What were some of the highlights for you in the past of that event?
I mean, last year was great because all of a sudden it was just the first year I started working on it was a lot of out-of-state breweries, and it just kept shifting more and more New York-oriented. And then last year it was just incredible. I mean, first of all, the White Hotel was a pretty cool location. I felt kind of hip, like I was getting somewhere. And but it was like just amazing, you know, it was just great to see New York City breweries just making such great stuff where that was the focus, instead of maybe breweries from away. So this year's list is even more in that direction, which I think is great.
I know, Anthony, I know you guys are with Transmitter, you're going to be there.
Absolutely.
There's a couple special projects going on with New York City Brewer's Choice. One of them is the Smash Beers. That you're part of?
Yep. We all got together and chose three grains and three hops, and everyone brewed to their own formulation. And so I think there'll be, you know, 15 or 18 people participating in that.
So what does Smash Beer stand for, Smash?
Smash originally is single malt and single hop, and it's been twisted to state malt, state hop. So we used all New York State ingredients, and should be exciting. I mean, we're drinking that, our version of that now, Saison yeast. You know, it's got a nice rustic graininess to it from the Valley malts that we used.
So what malts and hops did you guys pick?
So this has Valley Pale Ale malt, Danko rye from their catalog, and Vienna. And then the hops were Chinook, New York State Cascade, as well as Willamette.
So Andrea from Valley Malt is getting grains from New York State and malting them? Is that, oh, cool.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah. Wow. I guess they're officially malted in Massachusetts, but the right. grain is New York State.
New York State grain.
Yep.
Cool.
Well, I think it's a great initiative. I remember, we're going to talk about it on our show next week for February 17th, but and Kelly Taylor will be on from Kelso. But, yeah, I mean, last year just this, what was it, Grow NYC had the Regional Grains Project, and they right. approached us and said, why don't you guys feature some New York malts in the event? And last year we got, I think, 20 breweries from the state and a few of them from outside of the state. They made a beer with 30%. New York State grain. That was a great experience.
No, it was great. I mean, I think we had Jeff O'Neill on the show and with Andrea from Valley Malt, they were going sort of back and forth, and it was just, it was great to see the grain side of the equation, like coming into not just the hops, but the grain side coming in the conversation.
What's cool that everybody wants to be involved in it. The new breweries like Finback and, you know, Bridge and Tunnel, Transmitter and Other Half and, you know, Peekskill and guys from way upstate, like Crossroads is coming down, Empire. Dave Cataleschi always steps up.
So always.
It's still my favorite. It's my favorite beer event. Get out there. There's a lot of food. There's a raw bar. You know, there's cheese and chef dishes and pork. And I mean, it's really one of those great kind of beer and food.
It's still my, I mean, not just because we're involved with it, but I mean, it's definitely, I think, my favorite event. Because it goes back to the old days of having a brewer or an owner pour. And so you have that interaction between, you know, the people that are drinking the beer and the people that are making the beer. So.
And, you know, we went out of state, too, for the keynote speaker this year. So Mike Hinckley from Green Flash, he's flying in for the event. And you're doing something with him, too, aren't you?
And so, well, the day before, but I don't know. It was news to me that Green Flash bought Alpine. Okay, so Alpine's like, I don't like to say favorites, but it's definitely one of my favorite West Coast breweries. And I had no idea that he did, and I can't wait. I'm not coming until Monday. There probably won't be any left, but I'm dying to try Alpine here on the East Coast. Have you had some?
Yeah, it's outstanding.
From
outstanding.
Made at Green Flash?
Yeah, there's a guy who has a pied a terre in our building in Hell's Kitchen who lives in San Diego, and he brings a case of Bombers once a month.
I love their beers.
So some of my bartenders are really spoiled.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I can't. So that's huge. And are they going to be in the in Brewer's Choice?
Yeah, there'll be some guests out of state brewers. We have even Allagash is coming down, Green Good. Flash, and a few from New England. And actually, the ones from New England, White Birch in New Hampshire, Wandering Star in Massachusetts, they're actually making beers with New York State grains, too. So cheers to New York City Brewer's Choice. I wanted to put that plug in because it really is. It expresses what we do on Beer Sessions Radio. Great people like Dave Broderick, Ray Dieter, you know, we've all been part of this. And I'm just really proud that it's our event. So bottoms up. And now we can talk about other stuff. But the list, I mean, it's kind of a fun idea. I mean, for you guys as a brewer, Anthony, to get a challenge, you know, to say, I mean, tell us about that challenge. Because it's small batch. You never worked with these grains before.
It was, it was fun to formulate. It was hard to figure out where we wanted to head with it. On top of the challenge of figuring out what you want to do with it, we upgraded our system, and this is our first beer on that system. And everything we do is bottle conditioned or keg conditioned. So we have we needed to do it. We needed to make it happen in a pretty timely way to give it the 8 weeks that we like to sit on the beers before they're released. So it came together in perfect way. The labeling is difficult for us, and we were able to get that sort of through in terms of getting a label on the bottle.
Anthony, I wanted to ask you that because, I mean, if you've done 52 beers, 52 different beers in 9 months, how do you do that labeling? I mean, that's like a lot of back and forth with the TTB. And
we, we have a pretty special relationship with Battle. At this point, we have a lot of words on the label, so there is a lot of scrutiny involved because language is important to getting that through. We know what we can say and what we can't at this point. And then it's just my partner Rob is an art director, so he doesn't design the labels. That's Jeff Rogers, but we can finagle them and twist them and work the work the graphics and submit them. And when there's a problem, we can fix it that day and get them back resubmitted. It's a complicated dance for sure. Probably one of the harder parts of being the small brewery and handling that ourselves.
And not having a flagship and being committed to rotating.
Yeah.
All the different things.
I mean, it's where we're, it's our identity now. We do rebrew beers. I don't mean to say that that everything's a one-off, but we don't rebrew them on a schedule. It keeps it interesting. We're definitely having fun, which is...
It is one of the funnest parts of being a bar owner now, and I would say a consumer, is to get to taste all the new breweries that are coming up. I mean, how are you doing it? You're at Pony Bar, you know, and how do you rotate your kegs through? And you've got,
you know, there's so
local guys.
There's so much product in the market right now that you know, beers we used to pour a lot of in 2009, 2010 have sort of fallen by the wayside as new breweries have come online, especially local stuff like Finbag and Other Half, and you know, Three's Brewing. So we only have 20 lines. It's the same 20 lines we've had for almost 6 years. And there's certain brands that have just sort of fallen off that we just don't really get to as much anymore. You know, we're trying to be a little bit more local. You know, we're still American only and we're still draft only, but there's only so much you can do. You know, like the best part of the most fun in my job is being the buyer. And I love being able to put my thumbprint, my fingerprint on the draft list. It's one of the, you know, the best things about the job, I think, is being the buyer.
It is a good job. Let's toast everybody. This is like the toasting day. You know,
I think being the taster is a good job too. I don't know.
And Dave, you know, rounded out your, you got some new projects going on too. First, you're coming down from Vermont for New York City Brewer's Choice.
Yes.
And what you're bringing, like a whole family of food.
Yeah, I mean,
and
not. I wanted to bring more, but it's just so hard to get. It's, you know, Vermont Brewers is like definitely herding cats. So and it's a big deal for them to come down to New York City. It's expensive and. But Chad Rich from Prohibition Pig is coming down, and he's bringing two of his newest beers. He just became legal. He's been brewing on Sean Lawson's old one barrel system. He's in the old Alchemist brew space, brew pub space. So he's been brewing there, but now he's got a seven barrel, and he's got a great brewer, Nate Johnson, and making really cool stuff. So he's coming to Brewer's Choice, which is great. He was there last year with the first beer that they ever made on the little one barrel. And but now everything he's bringing a double IPA and a vanilla bean porter from the new system. So I've been up to the new brewery. It looks awesome. Chad's amazing at building stuff out and figuring things out. He does it all himself. He's always the contractor. So we're looking forward to that.
And then you're making beer yourself too, aren't you?
And then, yes, I'm bringing down. I've got a little side project going with Dave Yarrington from Smutty Nose, and called Beanery Brewing, and we're going to bring our coffee IPA and our coffee milk stout down. The coffee milk stout, it's Vermont only right now, but we have signed with Union Beer in New York City, so it's legal, and we will be down here. I don't know, maybe May.
So the beanery, what is it, like coffee and beer?
It's coffee and beer, coffee beers only. Really a focus on the beans, working with some really cool coffee farms that bring some really cool flavor profiles to some of my favorite style beers and beers that we think go well. The coffee IPA, super citrusy, 6% IPA. And we found actually the roaster that we've been working with, Claudia Barrett, up in Bedford, New Hampshire. She found this great coffee farm in Costa Rica that does citrus flavored beans if you roast them the right way, and so it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. It's just like I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a great time doing it. I'm learning like a whole other side of the business that I thought I knew but didn't really know, but also coffee, which I love.
So, since you're up in Vermont, so what are the beers that everybody wants to get when they go to Worthy Burger?
Well, you know, there's obviously Hill Farmstead, Sean Lawson, and Alchemist, which we can't legally sell, even in Vermont where we are. They're only allowed in a couple of counties in the state to sell it. And but actually, Foley Brothers now is super popular. Their Fair Maiden, their double IPA, is hugely popular. But basically, everyone that comes up there, they want something from Vermont. It's hard to sell beers that aren't from there. Sam Calzone came up to, he does an annual fundraiser with us up there. And Vermont is the only state that Dogfish is down because everybody wants to drink. They're also hyper-local in Vermont, that if it's not from there, they don't want it.
Right, and they deserve to drink local. Well,
exactly. I mean, there's a lot of great beer available. And it's getting, they're all expanding, so it's becoming even more available.
Dave, do you think that that's going to happen in New York City, where people are going to just want to drink certain New York City breweries?
I think there's certainly an opportunity there that if you have 20 lines, you could donate, you know, give 10 to New York City. I think Vermont really pioneered the whole idea of beer tourism, of people going very specifically to one state or one city just for that local beer. You know, I think Vermont did it first, and all the stuff I've had from Vermont is amazing. I've never had a bad beer from Vermont in years. That's not great. New York.
You haven't tried Beanery yet. Actually, it's not from Vermont. It's from New Hampshire, so it's okay.
New York City has more and more breweries come online. It's guys like Transmitter and Threes and Other Half, and you know, all these more. I think there's more and more breweries coming. You can certainly make the case that beer drinking is going that way. The one thing in New York City that a lot of other places don't have is we have a very international market here. So beers like Corona and Heineken and Stella and Guinness are always going to be very popular, because there's so many people living here from all over the planet.
But they don't know anything.
right. So, I mean, you know, there's that as well. But
do you like butter? Think about the foods you might get from somewhere else. I don't know. I mean, there's so many ways for people to grow and then their food taste, you know, and that's what I love about New York City. Is like, you know, when I first came here, would you know a difference in a butter? Would you know a difference in pizza? Would you know a difference in sausages or meat or something? You don't. And I think when you come here, if you're a student or you're starting to work, you know, wherever you're from, maybe you're from Portland, Oregon or somewhere, but for the most people, and it's also their budget, you know, you've been a student, you're drinking cheap beer or something else. So part of coming to New York City is you get a chance to, like, expand your palate, become an epicure. And, you know, after a few years, people want something new. They want their ramen. They want their really good craft beer. And I'm generalizing, but I think that's the case. Because right. I remember coming here, when I first was like 18, the only beer I ever drank I liked was Foster's, and I was in England, you know? But, I think once you're exposed to it and it's around you, people are up for it. I don't think we have to even question that, but I wanted to ask you if you like butter. That's all.
Well, that's the role of a great beer bar, too, is to listen to what someone is asking for, and then moving them to something new and challenging. Like, that's what a great beer bar really is.
Right.
Is this for.
Yeah, and knowing what they can handle, you know, and, like, gradually getting them.
Yeah, baby steps.
Yeah, exactly. But it you're totally right. That's our job.
As a buyer and a publican, you know, we used to have a list at the Pony Bar. We used to have, a thing of what are people asking for that we're not carrying. The first year and a half or so, we had this list behind the bar, and it was always Russian River, Bell's, Fat Tire. It was all the stuff you couldn't get. It's like, well, we're not selling it for the same reason nobody else is selling it in New York. We can't get it. But here's what we can, this is what we do have, and here's what we can get. Here's what's super local, and here's what's from California, and so on and so forth, you know? So.
And what are they asking for now?
Again, stuff you can't get. They're asking for whatever you can't get.
That's such human nature, man. You want what you can't have.
Whatever beer is not available is the best beer you're going to have, and which is unfortunate. So that's
because we have Bell's now.
Yeah, we have Bell's now.
I just had some Hop Slam this afternoon.
Yeah, you know, it's always you have people looking for something bigger like Deschutes. Okay, we can't get that yet. Or New Belgium, we can't get that yet. There's the hyper-local people that are looking for like Bissell Brothers out of Maine, which you can't get yet. Or, you know, I mean, we took that list down a long time ago.
Yeah, I love that challenge. You know, they walk in and then you're like, well, this is what we have, and it's better than what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And you've probably never heard of it. And that's our job, is to turn people on to what they've never heard. Right?
And I think that now I notice, like, in the talking to the people from you know, outside the United States that are coming in, tourists visiting, they want something local now, even them. And they're like, well, you know, I'm like, oh, how about something from California? Like, no, I want to try something from New York. And so we're seeing that a lot more, that people are asking for stuff from right around here. Like, if they're traveling, you know, from London, wherever, they want to try something that they can't get anywhere else but here.
Well, I think tonight the only place you can get the transmitter beer is in the studio here at Heritage Radio Network.
Absolutely.
Which is another reason to come out here. Come out to Heritage Radio Network and drink beer you can't get anywhere else. Hey,
I think this bottle's like empty.
Short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo!
Cool.
Yeah.
Break song is called Target Practice by Hard Bodies. This is Beer Sessions Radio.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're getting our groove down. We're drinking some special transmitter beers with Anthony and brewed in Long Island City, New York. We're talking about New York City Beer Week and our special event, New York City Brewer's Choice, on February 24th. What's so cool is that I love local beer, and I'm, you know, we're talking before, Dan had a list of the short list of breweries that you couldn't get in New York, like Russian River or Bell's. And years ago, I said, you know, we eclipsed that, man. You come and ask them for, you know, I'm tired of people coming down with, I don't say tired, but the idea that you've got a hard-to-get beer that's not available in New York. Let's say what used to be a Russian River, maybe now it's a Hill Farmstead. And someone gets that through a friend, and it changes hands, and it goes to the other friend, and it's in their shoe closet, and they bring it in one day. You know, it's great. It's a prize that they have that product. But first of all, you don't know how old that beer is and the conditions it's been traveled. Was it in someone's trunk in the summer driving down from Vermont? So I've always felt like, well, I never had an answer to, you know, we've had the Alchemist Heady Topper, and I said, you know, we've got some great IPAs here too. We've got Other Half, and we know that it's fresh and everything. But I've never had an answer to, you know, oh, that's the Hill Farmstead, one of those many bottles. You know, it's great, it's sour. I finally did today. Anthony from Transmitter, you broke Hill Farmstead, man. So tell us about the first beer we had one more time, because I could say to someone, you know what? You're looking for that Hill Farmstead, whatever the names are. There's the Sarah's and Anthony's. And
there's something. The list.
The list. I said, you know what? I don't need that in New York because I have Transmitter's special, 100% New York State beer.
The NY1.
And it's sour. It was nice malt. It's super fresh. I mean, when did you make and bottle that first beer?
First beer was made on January 7th, I think. So we bottled it about 3 weeks after that. It's just carbonated now. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to get better in a couple weeks.
But you must feel the same way, you know, Dan, where it's like, wow, it's like, I know that this came from a brewery. I know it's super fresh, and I'm serving it in my bar, Pony Bar, and I can guarantee my customers that it's super fresh and good. And it hasn't been like on the black market, traded hands three times.
Yeah, especially the local stuff here in New York. I mean, the keg dating, the collar dating, some of these things were kegged the day before. You know, we do a lot of stuff with Other Half. We do a lot of stuff with Barrier Brewing out on Long Island. Some of these beers are kegged literally that day or the day before, and they're super, super fresh. You know, they go right from their brewery into our walk-in box and within a day or two on draft.
Now, Dave, you've always been, you know, at Blind Tiger and Worthy Burger and all that. You've always been so concerned about quality and freshness. I mean, you know all the brewers so well.
Yeah, and it was funny. Like, I got to see John Kimmick at the Alchemist in December, right before Christmas. I went up to visit him. He, like, I bought some beer for a fundraiser that we were doing. And he was actually saying that you should never drink Heady. Like, he was kind of laughing at all the people. Like, they rush up. You know, the beer gets delivered, and it's literally just out of the brewery. It's just come out of the bright tanks. And he's like, you really shouldn't drink that for another 2 weeks. It takes like 2 weeks for it to come together. And like all these people are like just dying to have it right away. And it's not. So we were actually, he's like, we need to do it. It was 11 in the morning. He's like, we need to do a tasting right now. And so we tasted stuff from the summer to see how it was sort of, and it was, you know, he's got his canning line like totally dialed in now. So there's, you know, no oxygen in there or anything. And the stuff was really, I mean, it changed, but it was still really, really good. And but I just thought it was interesting, like everybody, it's like, you know, the breweries are trying to get everything to the market as soon as they can. And then everybody just snaps it up and then they just drink it without like figuring out the best way to actually taste it where it's at its best.
But it probably still tastes better in Vermont, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like when I remember, you know, with Pliny the Elder, you know, Russian River's their signature IPA. And like, I tried it in Philadelphia. And I was like, oh, that's a good beer. And then I tried it at Toronado in San Francisco. I was like, wow, that's a really good beer. Mm. And then I had it at the brewery. And like all the floral stuff, it just, you know, that a lot of that stuff dissipates before, you know, unless you have it right where it's made, it's kind of hard, you know, hard to get like exactly the way the brewer intended it.
Right.
What's your take on all that, Anthony?
For us, you know, we don't brew. We're not brewing overly hoppy beers, so, and the bottle conditioning changes our take on beer. We're kind of interested in the life of a beer and how it flows through flavor profiles. Well, often some of our beers are actually fermented with a clean yeast, and then we bottle on some funky yeast so that there's interest over time. That it has sort of a lifespan and it'll be sort of a little bit hop forward or a little floral in the beginning of its life, but then turn funky over time. So that as the hops sort of die off as part of the important flavor profile of a beer, all of a sudden you'll get like some earthiness coming up. So we're interested in that in a temporal aspect of beer, if that makes sense.
You guys just started less than a year ago?
Yep. Our anniversary will be beginning of March. We started selling beer in the beginning of April, so we're...
And did you start... I can't remember if you started just with large bottles or if you had kegs, too.
We started early. We do sixtals. You know, our first system was 3 barrels, so we would do 1/3 sixtals, 2/3 bottles, so we were ending up with 6 sixtals. We held them. We were holding on to them to make sure we were getting them right. Again, the keg conditioning is difficult, for sure, as a technical feat in brewing, getting the carbonation right. In right now we have 400 sixtals headed our way. So all of a sudden, that's the next thing we're going to move to is making a lot more beer for beer bars, you know, for the on-premise market.
We like that. What's this?
Yeah, tell us about...
You tell me, Dave.
Tell about T2, because we're drinking that right now. It's
so
really nice.
T2, T is our triple, so to speak. So it's this is about like 8.7%. We in the brewery, we call this gnarly triple. We hopped it pretty heavily away from a standard sort of classic triple and used West Coast hops in it. Sort of amp the hops up, not crazy, but there's definitely hop presence, some bitterness.
Yeah, I really like. I mean, I love that triple yeast with these hops. It really works.
Thanks. We're refining it. This is the second. So this is the second iteration of this beer. The first one was a bit danker, and we wanted to sort of brighten it up a bit. So I really, this version I think is a little more refined and coming along nicely.
It's got a great nose. I mean, it's got this, you know, sort of cool triple nose, but like there's something different about it.
It's great, man. It's nice drinking fresh local beer, but good beer. And Dan, you know, you're going to talk more about your new bar too. So
yeah, I want to hear about this restaurant that you were crazy enough to open with two children.
But, yeah.
I thought I told you not to do food.
In our line of work, restaurant is a four-letter word. Never to be spoken. So, you know, the seven dirty words from George Carlin, there's 8 dirty words, restaurant being one of them.
About 3.5 years ago, I went to a wedding in Vermont, and I hung
out. Always Vermont.
I palled around with this guy, Chad Rich, and went to American Flatbread, the original one, I think, with the zero gravity in Burlington. The whole pizza and beer concept was really eye-opening. I mean, who doesn't love pizza? Who doesn't love great American beer? I mean, it's like the two staffs of life. It's like water and bread. So I spent a couple of years trying to sell my partner Pat on this idea. Let's do this concept, this concept, this concept. And then a little over a year ago, we started, you know, formulating it with, you know, from the name to the logo to the what we were doing. We're not doing flatbreads. We're doing 12-inch Neapolitan pies, 20 drafts, American only at this point. No package at this point, but we're doing cocktails on draft, made in-house in old homebrew kegs, 30 corny kegs. And all of our wine is on tap. Two reds, two whites, a Moscato, and a rosé. We opened a month ago, and it's a very simple menu, influenced by that same place in Burlington. One salad, one calzone, 14 signature house pies with fun names, and then you can make your own pie as well. You know, if you want a pepperoni and mushroom pizza, you can certainly get one. And they're 12-inch Neapolitans. We're having a beer made for us by Barrier Brewing Company. It's a proprietary beer. It's a single hop, Columbus hops. It's a 6% IPA. It's called Neck Tattoo. And we're not doing delivery. So if you order, you know, either text or over the phone, you come in to collect your pie, you get a complimentary nip of this beer. It's like while you wait. Nice. It's a 5-ounce pour, and it's a really crushable beer. We're really happy with it.
And it's near the original Pony Bar.
It's on the other side of the wall. Because I don't
That's
like to commute.
Near.
I don't like to commute.
How do you pronounce it?
Kiabaka. Kiabaka.
Kiabaka.
Yeah, Kiabaka. Serious
from
beer.
Star Wars.
It's similar to Star Wars, but without
it's
the wars.
Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Oh, Chewbacca.
I hate to.
Yeah.
That's okay. You're
I
close.
It was Chewbacca.
You're
now.
Close.
Kiabaka is a type of wood that's indigenous to the Caribbean, really specifically St. Croix. It's considered like good fortune or good karma to have this wood in your house, provided you came to the wood ethically, either as a gift or as felled wood or as driftwood. And yeah, that's where the name comes from.
Cool.
Sounds like a great place. So yeah. I could hit Pony Bar. What time does Pony Bar open on Hell's Kitchen?
Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Saturday and Sunday, 12 o'clock.
What about Kiabaka?
Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right.
Saturday and Sunday, 12 o'clock.
Consistency is so important.
Spend the whole
in this
day
business.
There. Yeah.
Do you know what time in the morning you have to get up to open by 3 o'clock? Yeah. Two kids in diapers?
Yeah.
You rock
and
you
and your prep crew when you're actually doing a restaurant.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Four letter word.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of great places to go for beer week in New York City. And I'll tell you this: I'm probably gonna hit Pony Bar in Kiabaka. I'm gonna hit Blind Tiger. We'll probably do a special show that week too.
I think
you
so.
Know? Maybe with Chad Rich and
yes.
We'll be hanging out. Jimmy's number 43. All the other good beer seal bars. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
All right.
You like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit greatbrewers.com today.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Sensual Spiritual Heritage Radio Network. I like these smooth, cool, smooth grooves. Jack is cool. I'm getting mellow, but we are mellow. We went through two transmitters, and now Dan from Pony Bar is like popping something new. What is this?
Yeah, I've been sitting on this for a while. It's 2011. It's Three Floyds, Dark Lord. It's aged on vanilla beans and brandy barrels. So I guess it's about almost 4 years old, or not quite. This was a wedding gift from my lieutenant, Henry Joseph, who runs the Pony Bar on the Upper East Side now. So a quick shout out to him.
And it was a great wedding, by the way.
That's right. You were there.
I was there.
Was that in Vermont, too?
No, I was in Saratoga, which is sort of near Vermont.
Yeah.
It's very near Vermont, and, you know, we've sort of annexed it.
Yeah.
You, well, Dan, tell us how you got started. I remember you where'd you work? Like in Saratoga or something?
No, I'm
Empire
from
or
I'm
something?
From upstate. I'm from outside of Syracuse. I worked at Empire Brewing Company for about 4 years. I opened their first brewery, a 7-barrel system for David Kadlecki in 1994. And then we opened a 15-barrel system in Rochester, Empire Brewing Company, 1997. While I was there, I met a young lady, and she said, I'm coming to New York. I said, well, I'll go too. And landed here in 98. Soon after, went to work for Brian Delaney and Dave Broderick.
You did work at the Blind Tiger?
Yeah, the original, the old school. So I have my proppers, you know.
When did you open? When did you?
But we actually this is how we found him.
These
though.
Guys are old school.
He was doing he was a flair cocktail bartender at Blackbird.
Yep.
For Dale DeGroff, yep. Which was the coolest bar, and I went and scouted him after I heard about him with my dad of all people
and maybe a friend.
Yes, I did, and it was so much fun and Blood and Sand was the cocktail that you made me, and I was sold. I was like, yeah, we need this guy.
After I explained all six drafts, he asked for a Blood and Sand. I was like, what a jerk.
Different era. But so you really paid your dues. It's like, you know, there's these really competent, cool people like you, man.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a phenomenal journey, and I'm just really fortunate to have been a part of it, to have been on it, you know?
Yeah, cheers, it's been beer fun. Week. It's been fun.
That's a lot of stuff. And Dave, your original Blind Tiger, there was a bar before that called River Run. Talk about going back to what?
Yeah.
80s, 90s.
That was, I started bartending there in 87, I think, 88, and right around there. And I think they had six drafts at that time, and Anchor Steam, Brooklyn, Guinness, Bass. And then all of a sudden we expanded to like 18. A few years later, and they started something called the Great American Beer Festival, or it was like something similar to that, which they actually had to give up. But we started getting all like Dock Street from Philadelphia. This is 1989, and Harpoon was a new beer that had just started, and so I really like learned a lot from that place. It was a great, and we had a great. Beverage manager Bill Beard, who actually now I've heard is running a wine store in New York City, down by the Housen Street Whole Foods.
And when did you guys open the first Blind Tiger?
96, the March 15th, Ides of March 96, and Ray and Dennis had opened up about a year and a half before, and then Ginger Man opened up, I think, about 2 weeks after we did. So it was pretty early on, and everybody was like, oh, man, there can't be more than one beer bar in New York City. That's like, you guys are crazy. And, yeah.
That was a good time.
Yeah. It was the perfect time. We didn't know it.
Oh, absolutely.
So what did you do back then, since we're all old guys here tonight?
My day job is I own a custom photo lab. I print photographs for artists. So that's what I was doing. I was homebrewing at the time. So, you know, having all those, I was in the East Village. So DBA was right around the corner. Blind Tiger was literally direct. I lived on 10th Street. So it was directly across town the bus. And, then Ginger Man opened. And as long as you, Ginger Man was a, you know, that big, huge bar. I think I tasted Rodenbach on tap for the first time there, which was, you know, an epiphany in a way. I'd love Ginger Man on a Saturday afternoon that you'd have the whole place to yourself.
Totally to yourself. Like, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
During the week, it was a zoo, but right. Like on the weekends, ugh.
Talk about the Ginger Man, the original Ginger Man. Bob Precious, the owner, founder, we've never had him on the show.
Oh, we got to get him on.
Yeah.
The first beer bar I ever went to in my entire life was 1990, driving cross country and stopping in Houston, of all places. And some local friend said, oh, you've got to check out this like really cool bar. Didn't say beer bar, just cool bar on the Rice campus. And it was called Ginger Man's. And it was his house. And you walk into the house and like I saw 25 taps in the beer. I'm like, on the wall. And I'm like, I didn't know there were 25 beers. And the bartender just slides me the list, a mimeographed list. I think it was mimeographed at that point.
Nice.
And I looked at it, and I'm like, I don't even know what to order. And she's like, I got you covered. And she gave me this beer, and I tasted it, and I was like, holy smoke. And it was Sierra Nevada, pale ale, which I had never had. And I'm like, what is that? And she's like, hops.
Nice.
And it was, that was my epiphany. And I'm like, this, we need this in New York City. It was incredible. And it was Bob Precious.
And it wasn't too long ago, but cheers to everybody. Old men in the room celebrating New Year's Eve. Dan McLaughlin's like the oldest guy here. Yeah, he's been like working since he was like a teenager.
Longer, actually. Yeah, longer.
But there's a lot of great professionals in New York City. And first, you know, bar owners and bartenders. And it's really been, it's a great change too. But now with the breweries, you guys are really, I feel like it's going to be a great New York City Beer Week. What would you be doing if you came to New York for Beer Week? Each one, pick an event and tell me why you'd want to go to it. Dave, come on.
No. Let's Anthony. Let's let Anthony start.
I mean, I think Brewer's Choice is going to be a beautiful key event. You know, like having all that beer in one place, fairly priced. It's going to be a fun night.
It's going to be awesome. I'll tell you when I would go to also. Our friends who have been on the show, there are two Master Cicerone candidates, and you know, there's only a handful of Master Cicerones in the whole country, but our buddies James Ty and Brendan Woodcock.
James is a master now?
No, they're candidates. They've both taken it and haven't quite made it, but they're still working on it. And they approached me. They're doing a special event on Sunday, February 22nd. It's called Cicerone versus Cicerone. And there's five food pairing challenges. They've each picked one food. I think Brendan picked scallops and bacon, and James picked like Brussels sprouts and turnips. And then our kitchen's going to pick two others and a surprise, and they're each going to have a pairing. It's going to be like an Iron Chef, but of beer pairing. And doesn't that sound awesome? There's all these talented people in New York City, and you got to kind of sniff around all these events because I know other halves doing something at Italy, Birreria. Like, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff. You just have to go through the New York City Beer Week and like sniff through all those. I mean, what are you guys doing at Pony Bar? You must have like a cool thing happening.
Pony Bar, yeah, we're doing a couple different things. Our thing for the last 6 years is we only pour beer brewed in New York State, and that's all we've ever done. Pony Bar Upper East Side, only beer brewed in New York State this year again. Moving forward next year, we might just, you know, over this 10-day event, I think it is, or 7 days, whatever it is, go down to only serving beer made in New York City. That's something we've been talking about. But for this year, the two ponies, it's up only New York State. Kiabaka has an event with Captain Lawrence, Peekskill, Barrier, and Empire. We're doing, each brewery owner is making their own pizza.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we're doing a couple lines, two or three lines from each brewery, and then we're pairing it with a pizza from Scott Ficarra from Captain Lawrence, Jeff O'Neill from Peekskill, so on and so forth. David Kadleski from Empire. That's at Kiabaka. At Pony, we're doing an event with a small seven-barrel brewery called Great Adirondack out of Lake Placid. I believe they're one of the most decorated breweries in New York State. They've won, I think, more GABF medals than anybody. They just signed with Union Beer. They're very small.
Who is it again?
Great Adirondack out of Lake Placid. And real small. They've been around since 97, I think.
Wow.
So, you know, you go in, steakhouse, steak and seafood restaurant, but you go in, you see all the GABF medals, including they've won a bunch recently as well. So we have a small event with them. They've always self-distributed to us until just now with Union. Those are the two events we're doing. We're doing some stuff with Six Point.
What are some of the good places to get, like, a New York-focused or New York City-focused beers?
If I was coming from out of town and I was coming to New York City for New York City Beer Week, I would probably seek out the sources themselves. I'd probably try to line up in a tasting, or just go to Brooklyn Brewery, or to go to Other Half, or to try to find Barrier, or just go to the source itself and just try to, or hop on Metro North and go to Peekskill, or go to Captain Lawrence and Elmsford and go right to the source and just sort of do my own sort of thing, you know, and avoid the crowds and sort of be on my own itinerary, you know.
I mean, he knows too much.
I mean, there, you know, 100 events. It's going to be hard to pick them. There'll be some amazing events, like beer dinners are going on.
Are you doing anything else besides Brewer's Choice?
Yeah, I think we have something every night for those 10 days.
Like different bars or restaurants?
Yep, we're doing, I've been sticking kegs away for a beer event at Clinton Hall. So we're doing our first sort of tap takeover, which for us means I have 10 kegs set aside for them. That's
so
on 10 Monday.
Minutes, about 10 minutes of lunch.
Yeah.
Get there early.
Yeah, 10 sixtals. We've probably had our sixtals last as long as 2 hours. So that's that was a good.
You have great stuff. And again, cheers to Transfer. Dave, I think you have a secret event that I don't know if it's happening or not. You have something going on at Blind Tiger where there's Alpine and Green Flash.
Yeah, that's the Sunday of New York City Beer Week, the first Sunday. And Mike Hinckley, yeah, he, you know, and I we were talking about this before the show, that he bought Alpine, or, you know, owns most of it, or, and so he's bringing in his beers as well as Alpine's beers. And I, you know, Alpine's one of my favorite breweries in California. Can't wait to try it from San Diego. So I'm hoping I get down Monday. I'm hoping there's a little bit left to check it out, because
that's like a Sunday brunch, right?
It's that Sunday brunch.
Yeah, so you can either go to Blind Tiger, or you can do both. Go to Blind Tiger and try Green Flash and Alpine, and then go over to Jimmy's Number 43 and have Cicerone versus Cicerone.
Exactly. And I would do both.
We're going to do a secret show that no one even knows about yet. Probably the Wednesday.
The Wednesday at the Blind Tiger.
February 25th, we're going to go do a recording of a Beer Sessions radio show. First time at Blind Tiger.
First time at Blind Tiger and with Chad Rich, yeah, of Prohibition Pick.
So that's going to be a good one. Yeah. We've been waiting to get him on the show a long
time. I know, dying to. Actually, I got to say this, and he's out in Salt Lake right now for a bachelor party with one of the founders of PayPal. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing called Tips for Jesus. Have you ever heard of that? Where they leave like $5,000 tips.
Wow.
Anonymously.
Yeah. So it turns out, one of the guys in this bachelor party is a founder of PayPal, and he does Tips for Jesus. So Chad has seen it twice. The first night it was a $4,000 tip. And the second night, it was a $5,000 tip. It just, these they go to these places.
So you can't solicit it.
No.
I should solicit it. Come on.
And I'm just like,
I love Jesus.
Can you come to the Tiger?
When I'm working?
Exactly.
But did Jesus like beer or wine better?
Well, he made wine, but, you know.
I'm sure he liked both. I always feel like the brewers know the history, at least of, do you think that Jesus would have liked beer better or wine?
I mean, wine is delicious, but, you know, when you want to quench a thirst, you need beer.
But the Middle East, the Sumerians, they first brewed. So, I bet they were making some kind of beer out of like old bread or something.
Oh, you know? They definitely had.
Yeah,
hopefully not too old. But yeah,
I don't think I've ever heard the words bachelor party in Salt Lake City in the same sentence.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, "What are you doing in Salt Lake City?" And he's like, "Oh, it's a friend from Louisiana." And then he's like, it's going to be an incredible party.
That's why.
And apparently it's been an incredible party.
That's Tips for Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Remember, like, okay, I'm getting, this is a fun day and everybody's here. It's like last year in New York City, it was the fall of 2013. And it was like the crazy, everything was crazy. And Banksy came from London and he was like putting up works of art on building. And if you put up your work of art, it was worth like $500,000 or $1 million, you know? So, I don't know. Those are great days. And I did follow that site every day for like a month. But think about Beer Week, you know. What would you do? We really got to put together a calendar. I think next week on goodbrewseal.com, there's going to be a listing of the top Beer Week events at some of the Good Brew
Seal. Yeah, because, I mean, you need something to help you navigate.
Yeah, you
got to
filter it out. So we're trying to do that now, you know. But I like what you guys are doing. But that's awesome, man. Green Flash and Alpine.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I'm pretty excited about that.
But cheers to you, Dave. You've really done a great job pioneering, you know, everybody. Where would you go in New York? You know, you come to New York and you know, where should we go tonight? There must be a place that you've been thinking about going.
Tonight, actually, Grimm is doing their new double IPA, releasing it at the Tiger. So I was kind of hoping maybe you and I would go over there.
Sounds like a good one.
That's okay.
And talk about news. We got Transmitter.
I'll buy you one.
I'll do that. You're very generous to me. But, like, you know, with Beer Week coming up, what is cool is that we can actually say, you know, even like, remember like 6-7 years ago, we did an event and it was like the breweries of New York. It was like, it was Brooklyn, Kelso, and Six Point, and, you know, in Chelsea. And now it's like, we actually have cult breweries in New York. I mean, there's Other Half and Transmitter and Grimm, and there's others. I don't want to not include everybody, but Bridge
there's
and Tunnel.
Places you don't even like, you're not even sure who they are.
That's why going back to talking
about, I love,
Hill Farmstead and Alchemist, and I love those guys, but I'll tell you what, we have our own cult breweries now in New York City. So I would say if I was in New York City for Beer Week, which I will be, I would seek out, think of the Good Brew Seal bar as your favorite bar, because they're going to have some secret beers you've never had. And also, think of the cult breweries that are in New York City now. And I'll start and you guys fill me in. There's Bridge and Tunnel, and this is very bold of me to say this on there. Bridge and Tunnel, Grimm, Transmitter, Other Half. That's four right there. And do you want to add a few more? because they're all good, but to me, those are the four that are kind of culty right now, probably because they're making, you know, limited amounts.
Did you say Finback?
Finback's great, too.
Yep. That's five.
And Barrier, you like
Barrier? Yeah, I'm very partial to Barrier. Right?
I love Barrier. Single cuts making great beers.
Single cuts doing a great job.
Better all the time.
Yep.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's all the time.
there's over 20. Whether they're production breweries or they're a licensed wholesale, you know, contract brewery.
Right.
There's over 20 breweries in New York City right now. So there's a lot to look forward to for Beer Week.
Yeah, I think it's like incredible how far we've come in such a short period of time.
Very short.
And when I come down here, like, I don't want Vermont beers. I want New York City beers. And then maybe New York State. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm looking for.
Right. Well, Anthony, thanks from Transmitter. Thanks for going head-to-head with Hill and Farmstead. I think you took them down, man.
Uh-oh.
It's like New York City beat Vermont. No. All right.
No. Hopefully Sean's not going to call us. Or
Sean's making some stellar beers.
Still.
You guys rocked it out. All right. And thanks for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. We've got some great things for New York City Beer Week coming up. Check out Brewer's Choice on February 24th in Brooklyn. Thanks to our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to Dave, Dan, and Anthony for joining me here. And I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and to our engineer, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Cheers. Nice.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.